First of you, if you take your Bibles and open up to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to continue with this theme of the body of Christ. I had you do with our call to worship Psalms chapter 68, which was the Old Testament reference to what the Apostle Paul is going to build on in Ephesians chapter 4, that God uses people to provide and protect his body, to provide and protect for the people that are his. In this particular section in Ephesians chapter 4, a lot of really cool things that are going on. I'm just going to call attention one thing while I'm waiting for Bob Gabbardo to come forward. Look at verse 12. He calls different people to do different works of service to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Look at 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's why I could say what I did for the children's chat. We need each other, we need the body of Christ in order to become Christ to the world, in order to become the fullness of Christ to the world. How are we doing? Yeah, not so good. Bob, come up and read for us Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. Listen very, very carefully about Christ being the head, we being the body, and how he's supposed to be able to use us and manipulate us and manipulate is the wrong word, but guide us so that we can become Christ to the world.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you stand out of respect for the reading of God's holy word, please? But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to a lower earthly regions? He who descended in a very way, who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be pastors and teachers, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, instead sneaking up in truth and love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The powerful word of the Lord. You may be seated.
If you want to follow along in the sermon outline, it should be in your service folder. There it goes. Question to be answered is this. The church is the body and bride of Christ. So what? The answer is, so what? This imagery should drive how we think, act, and plan in the church. It means that everybody, get this, it means that everybody who belongs to Jesus belongs to everybody who belongs to Jesus. You know those Baptists down the street? They belong to Jesus. You belong to them. Oh, Pastor Keith, they're not the Baptists. Yeah. The Baptists, and the Presbyterians, and the Lutherans, and the Catholics. Yes! Everybody, I can't believe you said that. Everybody who belongs to Jesus belongs to everybody who belongs to Jesus. Let's go on. It also means that we need one another to become what we can truly never become on our own. Do you know that the Catholic Church brings things to the body of Christ that the Free Methodist Church doesn't provide? Do you know that the Episcopal Church brings to the body of Christ things that the Free Methodist Church does not provide? Do you know that the Presbyterian Church brings to the Free Methodist Church things that the Free Methodist Church does not provide? Do you know that probably 80%, no, probably 95% of everything that I give you on Sunday morning was stolen from somebody who's not Free Methodist? Okay, I'll back off because you're getting a little hostile on me. Yes! Thank you, buddy. So what? If it's from the gospel, if it's from the Bible, if it's true, so what? Now we're getting cooking now. Finally, it means that we're supposed to have a close, intimate, and vital relationship with our Lord and husband, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm convinced, but our head and husband, I'm convinced the reason why this is the whole message right here in the cookie, what do those call those things? Fortune cookie. I'm convinced, you ready to take out the little piece of paper? I'm convinced that the reason why the 21st century American church lacks power and influence in our culture is because the body of Christ in America is deformed, handicapped, diseased, and suffering from a serious neurological disorder. We've even succumbed to mind and body enhancing forces to try and make up what we know is lacking. All five issues can be cured by making Jesus Lord. There is nothing wrong with the body of Christ in America right now that making Him Lord won't cure right away. If you understand that, then folks, you understand the whole next, 35 minutes that we're going to be talking about this. The word for the day is incarnational. The word incarnate means to make flesh. If you have chili con carne, it means chili with flesh, with meat. Incarnation meant that God became flesh, that God dwelt among us in the body of Jesus. Guess what? We're supposed to be incarnational. We're supposed to live out in our flesh and blood the body of Christ, the head of Christ, through our living. We're to be Jesus to the world. If people look at the church collectively, they're supposed to be able to see Jesus. And folks, we don't understand that. Because if we did, we wouldn't be picking away at our Baptist friends. I hope you have at least one Baptist friend. You wouldn't be picking away at your Presbyterian friends. You wouldn't be picking away because you would understand that the body of Christ needs to work together. We need each other. We each bring things unique to the plate in order to enhance the body of Christ so that we can be all that God wants us to be. And folks, that's the whole heart and soul of what I have. I have three quick points. That some of them won't be quite so quick. And then I have 5 points that will take a little longer. Here we go. How does the church as the body of Christ become great? Number one, the church is the faithful body of Christ and can become great when she shows and enjoys unity. That's right. We need to be one. I've had so many people, in fact, people that are not believers, that look at the church and say, why should I treat it seriously? You don't even treat yourself seriously. I talked to coaches, especially when I was in Addison, and was trying to work with the coaches there not to have Sunday practices, not to have Sunday games, because that was becoming more prevalent, and folks, it's becoming prevalent in this town as well. And folks, I begged him to not have Sunday practices that was taking our students away from worship. And he said, why should I take you seriously? You as churches don't even get along with each other. Why should I try to get along with you? I'm not necessarily a believer. He was right on the money. If we don't take each other seriously, how in the world can somebody outside the body of Christ ever take us seriously? We need to treat each other with a lot more respect. We need to honor each other a lot more, even if they are Baptist or Presbyterian or Lutheran or Episcopalian or Catholic. Because, folks, everybody who belongs to Jesus belongs to everybody who belongs to Jesus. And we need to take that seriously, and I'm afraid we don't. Do you know that George Whitefield and John Wesley were buddies? George Whitefield was a Calvinist. He said that word. We're an Arminian church. John Wesley was Arminian. And they didn't have a problem with each other. In fact, there's a story that goes like this, that somebody came up to John Wesley and said, "Do you expect to see George Whitefield in heaven?" And he said, "No." And they said, "Oh, you don't believe he's a Christian, huh?" And he says, "No. George Whitefield is so much holier and righteous than me that I'm sure he's going to be much closer to the throne than I ever will be." That's understanding the body of Christ. That's understanding that George Whitefield brought something to John Wesley that John Wesley needed to have in order for John Wesley to be John Wesley. And John Wesley brought something to George Whitefield that made George Whitefield be George Whitefield. And my friends, you all need everybody here all so that you can all be what you're supposed to be all. And you even need people in other... Did you understand that? Because I'm not sure I understood that. You even need people in other churches to do the things that they do and bring the things of the body of Christ that they bring in order for you to be advanced in your life and who you're supposed to be. That's one of the reasons why this person, who's Arminian pastor, grew up Arminian, went to Reform school where they teach Calvinism. I'll never forget the interview in which all the other pastors and the superintendent were looking at me and says, "I see you went to Reformed Theological Seminary. Can you explain that?" Yes. Because the Reformed tradition brings something that the Arminian tradition could never give to me. God's providence, God's sovereignty, God's power. I needed that. I desperately was hungry for it. But you know what the Arminians bring to the table? Is that we need to be working for holiness. We need to be striving for building the kingdom of God. And the Calvinists don't necessarily exercise that. And you know what's great about my life? God in His providence and His holiness made sure I got a steady dose of both. Because they're both right. Okay, that was a long point. We'll try to make the next one shorter. Number two, the church is the faithful body of Christ and can become great when she is interdependent. Look what 1 Corinthians 12:18 says. "But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but there is one body." God has made every one of us different so that we can contribute something to the body of Christ that needs to be contributed in order for the body of Christ to more closely resemble Jesus and what He did in ministry. And if we'll all work together, if we'll cooperate, if we'll encourage and build one another up, my friends, we can do incredible things. There's a great story about in, what's the name of the town in Nebraska? This is Michael, Nebraska. Do you know where Bruno, Nebraska is? You ever heard of it? Okay. I've never heard of it either. But apparently in Bruno, Nebraska, a farmer by the name of Herman Ostry had a barn that was in a low-lying area that every so often water would cover the floor. And his son came and said, "Dad, if you allow that barn to stay right there, that water from time to time that comes in and floods your floor is going to rot that floor out." And Dad goes, "Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. It's too big of a barn to just pick up and move, and it would cost way too much money. It's not worth that. I don't know what to do." Son says, "I'll take care of it, Dad." So he built a brand new foundation up the hill, 143 feet up the hill, built a brand new foundation, built a structure to support the whole barn at one time, and then put 144 handles all the way around the barn, and invited 144 of his friends from the neighborhood of Bruno, Nebraska, and they all picked up at one time each of the handles and picked the entire barn up, went 143 feet up the hill, and placed it on the new foundation in less than 5 minutes. Isn't that cool? Have you ever, you know, I probably shouldn't suggest that. I'm going to say it anyway. Don't do this at home. Leave this to professionals. But he ever got a bunch of guys together and pick up a car and put it somewhere where there's no way to get it out again? Now, that's not the body of Christ. But it is cool what you can do together. I probably shouldn't have suggested that. But it should get your imagination going of what we can do if we're willing to work together. Think of it. If Baptists and Free Methodists were actually able to see eye to eye and work together, something like the Loaves and Fishes Project might take place, where 2,000 to 2,500 people's needs were met in a three-hour period of time because, and this was the amazing thing, churches got together. 22 of them. It made the front page, it tombstoned the front page of the paper because the people of Hillsdale went, the church has got together. Had someone at the ministerial meeting. I know I'm spending time here, but folks, I'm going to beat this drum. Ministerial Association meeting this last Thursday. We were sitting around the meeting, and a lady came and said, I would have brought this to you years before. We do part of a big read program in the libraries, and we wanted the churches to be involved, but we know how hard it is for churches to get together. It was a stake in my heart. Because that's how the rest of the world sees churches. And it's killing our witness. Everybody who belongs to Jesus belongs to everybody who belongs to Jesus. And we need to understand that. It'll change the way we look. It'll change the way we do things. Finally, number three. Oh, by the way, I really believe that the 21st century American church is like a bunch of porcupines trying to stay warm in a snowstorm. We have so many quills of our little... Yeah, some of you are going, ooh. We have so many quills of our own bitterness and our own pride and our own arrogance that when we need each other, we find it very, very hard to get together in order to stay warm. We need to get rid of those kind of things that keep us away from each other and allow ourselves to become vulnerable so that we can be an encouragement and strength to each other. Number three, the church is a faithful body of Christ and become great when she realizes Jesus is her head. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. I talked about that last week. If you want to know more about it, see the tape or go online or something like that for next week. How can the Hillsdale Free Methodist Church become a healthy body for Jesus our Lord? Our head, Jesus. A, we need to restore deformed members of the body. There are members of the body of Christ that for one reason or another have went through a train wreck, have went through some type of hardship, or went through some type of problem, and are disformed. And they're not able to do the function for which God enabled them and empowered them to do. And it is our job to restore them. One of the phrases that I heard, I think it was about 30 years ago, from Chuck Swindoll that still sticks in my mind. I can vaguely remember where I was when I first heard it. He said, the church is the only army in the world that shoots its wounded. My friends, the church should be the army in the world that works hard to restore those who are hurt or injured or deformed in order to allow them to get back in doing the work that only they can do. And the reason why God created them and put them in the body of Christ is because they're the only ones who can do that work. And when we reject people or dismiss people because they become no longer useful to the body of Christ, my friends, we do a great disservice to us. I have in my hand right now an area of my hand. In fact, these three fingers are numb because when I redid my floor in my house, I had to put a bunch of nails in, and putting all those nails in when I'm not used to putting that many nails in made my nerves go numb. Now, it's slowly coming back. But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to cut off my middle finger, my index finger, my thumb, just because they've gotten numb for a little while. Would you? So why do we do that in the body of Christ? We need to work to take those members who are deformed or somehow injured, and we need to restore them back. That's what the Apostle Paul says over and over again. That's what Jesus came to do. What? Thank you. I'll take it. When I grew up, I was United Brethren. I was involved in the quizzing program for 2 years. In fact, to this day, the sections of scriptures I know the best are the ones that I quizzed over. In fact, we had a quiz here yesterday in which the Free Methodist enjoys a Bible quiz. And it was a great, great program. Because you learn intensely those scriptures so that you can recall every verse, every little possible question you can answer. It's wonderful discipline. About 4 years after I left, 4 years after I went to college and left home and was in college, there was a guy in my class at college who accelerated quickly into to the ranks of national youth group specialties speaker. And he came back to my home denomination and said, you need to quit your Bible quizzing program because the kids who can't do well feel left out. Now listen, I understand where we need to be gracious and encourage each other. But when we take the body of Christ and lower every part to the lowest common denominator, we're killing ourselves. My friends, I don't have a stitch of visual art ability in me at all. If you saw me at my handwriting, you would know that that is true. No extra comments in this point. I don't have any. But that is not to say that we will not allow those who have that gift to exercise those gifts because poor Pastor Keith might feel bad because he doesn't have the gift. That's insanity. That is reducing the body of Christ to something that we all can be. My friends, that's killing the body of Christ. We need to be taking those parts that are able to do something well and encouraging them, and taking the body of Christ that can't do that part well and helping them find the things that they can do well. Okay, you guys are finishing the sentences for me, so that means you know what I'm talking about. So let's go on. Because folks, that is not happening. In fact, the 21st century American church has become so politically correct that we've handicapped ourselves. We've deformed ourselves trying to be so nice. And we're not being nice at all. We're handicapping everybody. Okay. B. We need to support, strengthen, and encourage weaker, less mature, and injured parts. A lot similar to what I talked about before. Except this is more of those that have become wounded in some way, or less mature, or aren't far as long. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. To prepare God's weak people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And folks, the fullness of Christ comes when we do what we're supposed to do well in order the whole body of Christ, everybody, does its part so well that when the people on the outside look at it, they say, wow, what a well-oiled machine. Today, yesterday, today, and for the next several weeks, we're going to watch football and some of the best football that's going to happen all year. And you're going to watch plays and you're going to go, wow, what an amazing athlete. And I absolutely love to watch wide receivers reach out, grab the ball, bring it in, and put their toes down just before they go out of bounds, knowing that some guy's coming up and going, bam, right on. I don't understand all that. I love to watch batters sit up there when somebody's throwing 101 mile an hour heat, and they're able to get around on that fastball and drive it into the stands. I don't understand that. My hand-eye coordination is such that I go, shoom, poom, shoom, poom. I'm serious. I don't even understand how people can hit 100 mile an hour. I can't even see a 100 mile an hour fastball, let alone hit it. But you know what's cool is to watch those athletes who have every aspect of their body, every aspect of their mind, highly trained, highly disciplined, highly brought in to conformity to the standard that they need to have to do exactly what they need to do to perform. Why is it that the church is going, oh yeah, here we come? I'm sorry, it's what a lot of people in the world think we are. And the reason why is because we're not allowing the body to be the body. We've got parts that are injured, or we're trying to make our hand a foot. And you ever tried that? See, we need to cure our infections. We all have things that we're fighting. And folks, what the Apostle Paul has said to us is if one part is hurting, it affects the whole body. If one part is struggling to come into conformity the way God designed us, it affects us all. And I know that's true. We should not rejoice. We should not even smile. In fact, we should be in anguish when a church down the road goes through some type of trouble, because it affects us right here. And way too many times I've watched people go, did you hear what happened to Baptists? Wipe the smile off your face. This is the body of Christ. And if they're hurting down the street and they belong to Jesus, then we should be hurting because we belong to Jesus, and everybody who belongs to Jesus belongs to everybody who belongs to Jesus. Wow. D, we need to cure our neurological disorder by becoming more sensitive to the Spirit of God. I'm going to use this illustration real quick. Do you know, if you've done any studies over the NBA over the last 15 years, there's been an interesting study done by, Sports Illustrated? Who was this did this? Oh, New York Times. They've realized that the shooting percentage has went down over the years, and one of the writers for the New York Times, the sports department, wanted to do an investigation in order to find out why that was true. They also discovered at the same time that the assists per game has went down from like 51 to 43 over that same time period. And then they realized what had happened. What happens today if you have a basketball game between the Miami Heat and the LA Lakers? It's Dwayne Wade versus Kobe Bryant. And that mentality that individuals are playing each other has carried on to the court, where now assists go down and people are not open for the high percentage shots anymore. And so the scoring has went down. Do you remember the 2004 Pistons? Do you remember what made them great? It wasn't because they had an all-star lineup. If I remember, they didn't have anybody that made the all-star team. What made them great and beat the LA Lakers in the finals? It was LA Lakers in the finals, wasn't it? What made them great and beat the Lakers in the finals? They played as a team. Didn't matter that the Lakers had Kobe Bryant and Shaq and Fox and all those other guys. All of them, most all-stars, or been on the all-stars one time or another. Didn't matter. They played as a team. That's why I love the movie Hoosiers. Because he's right! And if we would play as a team, we could be great too. The problem is we don't play as a team. We're so hung up on our own. We don't listen to the head. We don't listen. We have a neurological disorder thinking we do one of the things our own. Have you ever seen a body walk down the street in which every part wants to do its own thing? You won't watch them walk down the street. You know why? Because they can't walk down the street. A person who is not in touch with its head and has not, no longer the head having control over its body parts, can't do anything. And we in America have a real problem with this. We're so independent in our thinking, we're so independent in the way we want to do things, we're not willing to submit to the head who's trying to get us to work together as a team to do incredible things that we could never do on our own. Finally, number E, and this is the one that I made up on my own. I've never heard this preached, but I think it's right on the money. We need to stop counting on steroids or hallucinogenics to help us perform. What I mean by that is this. When I did my doctoral dissertation, one of the things that I discovered about the 18th and 19th century revivalists is that they only counted on the Word of God to allow them to preach the gospel and have the power and effect that they had. As I watch 21st century America, I get bombarded with people who say, well, you've got to have a lot of visual effects during your service. You've got to have a rocking band. You've got to have a hopping audience. You've got to have lazy boy recliners. You've got to serve pop and coffee and all those kind of things. Otherwise, you'll never be able to reach them. My friends, that is steroids. That is hallucinogenics, counting on something else to motivate us in order to be able to worship God, because God's not alone by himself, not enough by himself. That's what we're saying. Jesus won't preach without the lazy boys. Jesus won't preach without the video effects. Jesus won't preach unless he got a rocking band. That's what we're saying. My friends, anybody who says that has not met the real Jesus. Because when you come in contact with the real Jesus, you don't need squat to preach the gospel. You don't even need this church. And folks, if this church was burned down and for some crazy reason our insurance wouldn't be good and we have to start meeting in homes, that is not going to hurt us, or it better not hurt us, one iota. Because it doesn't matter whether we have a building. Doesn't matter if we have the stained glass. Doesn't matter if we have the video. Doesn't matter if we have the band. What matters is, do we have the real Jesus or not? And unfortunately, 21st century American church has relied on all sorts of hype things in order to motivate us to be able to do what we think we have to do. My friends, if you have Jesus, you'll have all the motivation you need. The problem is we don't have the real Jesus. That's why we struggle. And the world is desperately looking for someone who will be the real Jesus. that will show what the real Jesus was like. How many resources did Jesus have for his preaching? None! He had nothing but himself. He didn't even have a Bible. He couldn't afford one. So he memorized the one that the rabbi gave to him. The rabbi would speak on Sunday morning or Saturday morning, and he would memorize it. And he would commit it to... You think I'm making this up? That's what Jesus did. We have so many resources, and they become our crutch. When the God of the universe wants to run and fly and do all sorts of incredible things, not just limp along on these crutches that we think we need in order to be able to have church. I'd like to close with two stories that hopefully help put things into perspective. We in America are very, very individualistic. It's part of our culture. It's part of what happened, you know. I mean, when people leave Europe and their homes in order to come here to have freedoms, you're going to create that kind of a spirit. You're going to create that. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as it's harnessed. But to show you how radically different some other cultures' spirit is and how radically different some other cultures look at community, I would like to give this story about the IQ test. When the IQ test was developed, it was in order to show what a person's intelligent quotient was. And they tested on different ethnic groups to make sure that it was universally applicable. In other words, would the blacks and the Hispanics and the Indians, those kind of people, all be able to perform equally, provided they all had the same kind of intelligent quotient, okay? They tested it on the Hopi Indians. Now, you know what the IQ test is. You're supposed to take the test and start filling the blanks, see how well you do and how much intellectual capability you have. They gave it, the facilitator handed it out to the Hopi Indians. He started the timer. And they all got together in a huddle and started working on it. So he stopped the stopwatch and says, wait. You're supposed to take this as individuals. We want to find out what capabilities you each have independently. And the Hopi Indian is looking and says, who cares about that? What we care about is what we can do collectively. We wouldn't even think of that. And yet, that's how we're supposed to be thinking. We're supposed to be thinking collectively. What can we do as a body? What can we do as all of us working together in order to accomplish great things for God? I really love the playoffs because of the irony. You have two NFL teams, big, strong, fast guys that are highly disciplined, just strong individuals. I had one guy that was a IU lineman come into my store one time when I was in Indiana. He scared me when he walked in the door and had to go like this. His shoulders almost didn't touch the two south side frames. He was 6'8", 320. And when he came through my door, the whole room got dark. You know a big man has just entered the room when that happens. So when these teams get together and you watch all this big, strong, you know, front line, but how many games in the NFL are won by the littlest, scrawniest guy on the team that doesn't even wear matching shoes? The kicker. A lot of games will be won or lost by whether this little twerp, I hope none of you are kickers, can put the ball through the uprights. And what do they do if he does? They pick him up. I mean, these guys are usually in about 150 pounds. That's the body of Christ. It's not the biggest. It's not the strongest. It's not even the most visible. It's every part doing its job so that the game can be won. And the Bible says, and the Apostle Paul is very, very clear, if you're a believer in Christ, you belong to me. I belong to you. And whether or not you want to recognize it or not, you need me. I need you. Some of you don't even know what kind of power you have over me and what kind of influence you have for me. Because when you come here on Sunday mornings, and every Sunday you sit here like this, you're hurting the body. Some of you don't know what kind of influence you have over me. Because when you sit here like this, I'm going, yeah, somebody's actually awake and paying attention. My friends, we need to be encouragement to each other and build up the body of Christ so that we can do things that nobody would believe. Kind of like 344 guys picking up a barn and moving it. That's what we're supposed to be about. Let's pray and receive the benediction. Now may the God of... Please stand. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. Now may the God of the universe, who has given us the awesome responsibility of being the body of Christ, so that the world may see how great God is through us, may He empower us, and He will. May He guide us, and He wants to. And may He lead us and encourage us. He's already given us the resources so that we can truly be the body of Christ to a lost and dying world that doesn't even know what Jesus is like. Not only now, but forever. Have a great week. Thank you so much for coming. It's been great to have you here this morning.